What is up, Watch Fam? We're back with The Zero. Today is episode 12, and we're back with Carl Cohen. Carl's a third or fourth generation watch dealer. He's also a gemologist, which is a big part of today's conversation. We're talking about stone dials from Piaget and Rolex and what makes some of them so special. We're also talking about watch modification, like Karl Lagerfeld's black PVD Royal Oak. We're talking about ladies' Nautiluses and when it makes sense for a man to wear one. So, as always, we're giving you a free 15-minute peek into today's conversation, which does go on for over an hour over on our podcast community at The Zero. You can join our community at patreon.com/Christian Zerone. It's not free. It's 10 bucks a month, but we give out rewards to all of our members, both at sign up and at Christmas, making it functionally free. You can get a free 7-day trial right now if you head on over and sign up, and I hope to see you on over there. What about the AP Spider-Man?
Oh, God.
You like that one?
I don't understand. I'm like this, the Spider-Man and the whole AP thing, like, I don't understand any of it at this point. Like, you just have fuck you money and you're like, oh, this is cool. This is a novelty. Like, without a question, amazing watchmaking, detail, craftsmanship, right? But like, it to me feels very kitschy.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's kitschy. It almost, to me, reminds me of some of the stuff years ago that, like, Hublot was doing.
Totally. 100%.
And it's like, have you lost your way? Like, what's going on?
I mean, completely. It is not becoming of a you know, serious manufacturer of, you know, traditional hot horology. You know, it's not. It's at all. It's bizarre. I thought the Black Panther was terrible. I think this is stupid and terrible. I mean, the only justification I could see is, you know, the same way that people want to, you know, have a fun swatch, to some people, an AP might as well be a swatch.
So right, or fun. Some of this RM. Like.
Right, and if that's the case, couldn't they have just done it in a more tasteful way?
Right.
Like, did it need to be, like, so on the nose? Come on.
For something so ridiculous.
It's like one of those old experiments. Like, the Stanford experiment or whatever?
Yeah.
Is this the same, you know, right? I mean, it's totally, how far can we push this person? How far can we push them? So, and it's interesting, too, because you have an outgoing CEO and an incoming CEO.
In a unique position.
Yeah. So, it's like, does the incoming CEO, I forget her name, but does the incoming CEO have a shared vision for the brand? And if so, okay, which is bizarre, but okay. And, or B, is the outgoing CEO basically just saying, fuck you, I'm just going to my way until the end. That's nuts, too. You know? I don't know.
But
I'm not sure which one's worse.
It's a tough position to come into, right?
Yeah.
But then having left your mark like that, who's going to be like...
I know.
But...
And you know, his legacy will, you know, be, I guess, the 1159, for better or for worse.
Which I think is...
them are very cool.
I think, some of them with, like, the aventurine dial.
Totally.
Like, it's unbelievable, but, like...
It. And especially with the pattern now, they added, very
cool. The brand had become singularly known for, you know, the Royal Oak.
Right.
And iterations of that, and obviously the concepts, but, like, to introduce something like that that was visibly so different, yet really not that different looking at the DNA of the brand. Like,
that was brilliant. I think it was a master.
It never had an opportunity to succeed, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it was, you know, it was probably the best introduction or, like, collection expansion in the sense that it really carried through the DNA of the brand.
Right.
Oh, the DNA of the brand post-72, right? I mean, but it is. I mean, that, like, is the brand now.
The crystal alone on that thing.
Like, brilliant.
Yeah.
Even the lugs, the finishing, the design, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I think it will continue to be a successful watch. I think it's successful. But it just seems to be inconsistent to do the 1159 and to also do the Spider-Man and the
Black Panther.
Weird.
But then, like, I feel like they're also, with the 1159, trying to re-enter an area that's so hot right now, right? Like, looking at all of the micro brands and small shops doing amazing things in horology. Like, obviously, those are at a higher price point, but now your 1159 sort of is competing for the same dollars.
It is. Yeah.
Which is a tough proposition.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, the concepts I think are really, really interesting. I mean, they're obviously very expensive, but they are fascinating, you know, and even in their design, like they're cool, you know, they're really cool. I wonder if we'll see, not, they'll never bring those down in price, but I wonder if we'll see a line expansion into kind of keeping that, because that is, it is more, because you've got the offshore, right? It's just, I don't know if that's the level of aggression that is mass market now, whereas the concept is a little bit more interesting looking, a little right. more sporty, a little bit softer, still aggressive and masculine, but not over the top. I think a lot of guys look at the offshore and they say, that's just too fucking far, man.
Yeah.
That's a bridge too far for me. So I wonder if they'll introduce something, I suppose, in the line of like the diver. The divers are a little bit more palatable.
That's sort of been a path, right, that a lot of brands have taken.
Yeah.
I think. Like, one that's actually in the news a lot now is Tag. Not because this amazing watch, right?
Yeah.
But they, for years, did concept watches, yeah. right?
Yes, that's right.
With the, I think, SLR and yeah. some of the McLaren and, yeah. like, this dual drive movement and so forth, where they did a lot of cool things. Yeah. And then it would trickle down into, like, the Carrera line yeah. and other things. And they've got a new head who's... father's done some pretty good things.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see what he's going to do with that brand.
He's got to succeed. If he fucks it up, he's fucked, the kid. I mean, fucked in the way that he could be. I mean, but if he fucks up on Tag, he's not going to get the promotion to the next company.
Right.
Because Tag is a stepping stone, right? The same way that the other brother is at Louis Vuitton.
Right.
You know, that you know, it's a stepping stone. So do well here and you will get a promotion to be the head of another brand.
Right.
You know?
And was one of them at Rimowa?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a third brother who was...
Oh, they're like five brothers or something. But yes, Rimowa, obviously Tag. Yeah, they're all over. Yeah. So it's fascinating, you know?
But then it's like, to me, I think there will be success. And I think...
Those, yeah.
I and in part because you've grown up around the world's largest, you know, luxury conglomerate, right?
Yeah.
So you've been around success and seen what you have to do to take a brand from A to B or take a brand that's been at the top and fallen back and how do you help them reinvent?
Because, yeah.
I mean, Tag was hot for a while and I still think they make great watches.
They do. They
for the
do.
Money.
And they're incredibly famous. So I think that we lose sight of that in the watch industry, like how powerful the name Tag is. If people buy Tag still.
Yeah.
We don't realize that. They probably do astronomical amounts of money
right.
that we don't even understand. When's the last time one of your buddies bought a Tag in the watch world?
But like if someone asks me what's a good starter watch for a kid or someone getting in, I'm like... Tag's awesome. You can buy a...
And the new Carreras are incredibly good.
Right.
They're great.
I mean,
have
the price...
the new Monacos?
Yeah. The price point's high, but everything's high,
everything's right? Everything's high. I kind of just look at it, and I know this sounds kind of silly, but if you're looking to get into a big, you know, a watch brand with, you know, with name recognition, I'd rather you overspend by $1,500 or $1,800 than get... a watch is just not that good.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where we are as consumers. It's like, yeah, I guess I'll just fork up a little bit more money to get a good thing.
Right.
Even though I know it's overpriced. I'd rather get the good thing.
But yeah. the Monaco is cool and the Carreras are cool.
100%. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
You know? And they've got, you know, a ton of support, right? Like, Hodinkee's super high on Tag. Like, they'll continue to grow and do really, really well.
Yeah, so I just think that's an interesting one, right? Because... like you said, we don't talk about it a lot, but there's a ton of those watches sold every day,
right? Look at the Lady Datejust. Same thing. Well, we don't... I don't know. I don't know that many women that buy Lady Datejust. Like, I don't... Not in my circle, but the world does.
Right.
The whole fucking world buys that watch.
Right.
Isn't it the hottest selling Rolex? It's like...
historically, it has to be, right?
So, that's it. Like,
yeah, I mean, when I worked in stores, like, you sold more women's than men's.
Look at Longines.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they sell watches, but they sell a ton of fucking watches to the world, but you know, it's just, like, it's crazy how much business they probably do out there. You know, we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
It's a multi-billion dollar brand.
Right.
Like,
it's like, that's huge.
It's huge. It's fucking huge.
Right.
And yeah, maybe in a given mom and pop AD, they're only selling 3 a month or 4 a month.
But if you have 3,000 points of distribution
exactly.
and,
Come
you
on.
Know, the United States. I'm not saying they do, but
no, right.
It's, that adds up really quick.
It's insane, you know? That's another brand that I really do like, that I always...
Relishing?
Yeah. Well, I do work with them, and I support the hell out of them because I think they're good. And wait till you see all their new watches from this year.
Are they doing anything with, like, their heritage?
Yeah. It's most of their developments are on the heritage end. But, dude, like...
Because some of that stuff is amazing.
It's amazing. Some of these watches that you're going to see this year, phenomenal. Phenomenal. I'm actually getting one. They're that good. Yeah.
Some, like, well-known case?
Some well-known cases and some improvements on... Like, some improvements on things that they have reissued, but now they really understood, okay, let's keep this really close to the vest. Let's keep this very vintage. But the quality on some of the bracelets and the cases is just unbelievable.
And the collectors for that brand, I mean, they know their stuff.
It's huge.
Like, you think guys know Rolex. It's like, there's so much more to Longines, the provenance, the case, the movement.
And they support right. the collectors with archive stuff that a lot of brands don't to that degree.
No, I mean, it's, from what I understand, more in depth than like a Patek. Rolex, forget about it. It's nothing. Yeah. Like Patek, I went last week, great experience. They're very yep. helpful, but they don't share the amount of information that Longines does.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got a whole workshop. I visited it, dedicated to just their archive work. It's insane. To look at their file cabinets and file cabinets of original dials and hands. I mean, these guys don't even think about new stuff. It's a whole room of people just dedicated to restoring old stuff. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was so cool. Yeah, it's a great brand. You know who's... we'll wrap up now, but you know who always has crazy Nautiluses? Fucking... You know Salt Bae?
He has...
I don't know if they're on fucking memo or
he
what.
He actually has the same watch we're talking of that I own.
Yeah.
The difference is he has full pave and I have centerlink pave. And that's the only other one I've seen in this configuration. I know that... See. It was being offered for sale on Chrono 24 through a dealer in Norway, and I asked for a price, and it was like 330 euros.
So I don't know what he's doing, meaning if those are his watches.
He's selling a lot of steaks.
I know, he's selling a lot of steaks. Crazy, but it's cool. It's a 3800 reference?
Yeah.
Yeah, he only wears 3800 reference since day one.
But it's a good size.
It is a cool size. It's a delicate size, but it's a beautiful size. Now, they're nice.
Have you worn like... 3700 or 3711 or 3712.
Yeah.
I find them large.
Yeah. Well, I do like them quite a bit. Do you still have the, what was it, 3710? What were you just showing, a 57?
Oh, yeah. That was just a client's thing. Yeah. They had.
Did you get that? Did you sell that?
No. They just want you to show it. It's cool.
I know. I almost texted you about it, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to buy it. It was a nice watch, though.
Yeah, those have just taken a hit, right? And all that. But, like, I remember the first time I tried to buy a 3800.
Yeah.
It was probably, like, 2016.
Yeah.
And I didn't know a lot about it, but someone posted it for sale, and I was like, oh, it's a gold Nautilus. This yeah. seems like a good deal. And it was, like, 11 grand. And then I remember buying one probably in 2018. I bought it from Tourneau.
Yeah.
It's part of their certified pre-owned, and it was 20,000.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's when you could just go in there and find like cool stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. I bought that there. I think I've bought two from them in the last like 6 or 7 years. I mean, when they were 25.
Yeah, below. Right.
But like, there will be something else that gets hot and hyped. Sure. And
I think the 5712 is still just a great watch. I don't like 5711 very much.
See, I like the 3712. It was made for like a year before the 5712.
Okay.
Very similar.
I don't know if I know it. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, yeah, same watch.
Yeah, no, very
yes.
similar.
You know what's funny? Before all this hype, I was, not even a great story, I just never forget seeing that watch. I was interning at a law firm in the city, and I would hang out after work a lot and like smoke cigars and drink booze with guys, you know, with law firm guys. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Manly stuff,
you know, and... you know, we were getting pretty bombed on the Upper East Side, and there was this dude. This is way before the hype. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We're talking 2000, and I graduated college in 2016. So this is, I just farted. So this is 2015. That's a long time before
yeah.
all that blew up. And a guy had that watch. And I remember he thought that I was a lawyer at Boy Schiller. He didn't realize I was a college student interning at Boy Schiller. So he assumed that, so that I just perpetuated the assumption and just didn't tell him that I was, you know.
You're like, yeah, I'm a partner.
So I'm a partner, right. So he was like, I forget what I was wearing. I don't even know what I was wearing. But I complimented his watch, and he's like, oh, God, blah, 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 Patek, blah, 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 blah. He's like, what Patek's, like, what references do you have? And the only reference I can come up with was 3940. And I was like, ah, 3940, it was, you know, that I love and whatever.
3940
P. Yeah. Yeah, P, exactly. I actually had one of those for a little while. But please, I sold it for like 65 grand. Idiot. Anyway, I'll never forget that. I was like, I can't believe I just lied. I can't believe I just lied. I'm going to kill myself. I can't believe I just lied. But
I hope he's listening.
Yeah, exactly. If he, honestly, if he is, buddy, I was listening. I was lying. I had nothing. I had a Rolex Datejust, and that was it. And I'm proud of that watch, and I still wear it. That being said, I'd like to buy 5712. So if you can hook me up, that'd be great.
That's yeah, awesome.
But anyway, it's a long time ago.
Thanks for having me again.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
I'll have to share anecdotes if I'm invited back.
Yeah, I'll be back soon.
About Palm Beach and stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Get out of here, boss. If you guys enjoyed the sneak peek to this episode, go ahead and sign up to listen to the full 1 hour episode over on patreon.com/Christian Zerone. It's $10 a month, but we give a $50 credit when you sign up, and another $50 credit around Christmas in the Theo and Harris Strap Shop. So you're getting free product all year, basically. That's it. We'll see you guys over there soon.